Our scripture this morning comes from Paul's first letter to the Thessalonians, beginning at the second chapter, verse 17, and concluding at the third chapter, verse 6. Hear God's word for us today. But brothers and sisters, when we were orphaned by being separated from you for a short time, in person, not in thought, out of our intense longing, we made every effort to see you. For we wanted to come to you. Certainly I, Paul, did again and again, but Satan blocked our way. For what is our hope, our joy, or the crown in which we will glory in the presence of the Lord Jesus when he comes? Is it not you? Indeed, you are the glory and the joy. So when we could stand it no longer, we thought it would be best to be left by ourselves in Athens. We sent Timothy, who is our brother and co-worker in God's service, in spreading the gospel of Christ, to strengthen and encourage you in your faith. But Timothy has now just come to us from you and brought good news about your faith and love. He has told us that you have pleasant memories of us and that you long to see us, just as we long to see you. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. I'm going to preach this morning on the theme, Detours Ahead. Detours Ahead. Now, Dorothy, I have learned that there are two types of people in the world. 7.8 billion humans, but only two types of people. And the first are like Sister Pat Cassidy. And the second are like Father Lhotse. Now, you may not know these names, but as an elementary student at Jesu Catholic School in Detroit, Michigan, Sister Pat Cassidy and Father Lhotse were like Bonnie and Clyde. They were like Johnny and June Cash. They were like John and Yoko or Jay-Z and Beyonce. Everybody who was anybody knew exactly who they were. And yet they couldn't have been more different. Sister Pat Cassidy was the enforcer. She was the heavy. She was the kind of Catholic nun who God had gifted with eyes in the front of her head, the side of her head, and the back of her head. And she would whip around at a moment's notice when she caught you speaking out of turn or passing a note or rolling up your skirt or untucking your shirt, handing you a detention faster than you could say Hail Mary full of grace. And then there was Father Lhotse, who was the Pied Piper of priests. He was funny. He was kind. He was patient. He was loving. He was forgiving. And he always had a knock-knock joke to trade with us kids. There was even a waiting list to be one of his altar servers. Like, this was Studio 54 and not a Catholic church. He never met a stranger. And if you struck up a conversation with Father Lhotse, he would always say to you, "Wouldn't this be better over donuts?" Now, knowing the reputation of these two very different leaders, I was excited and I was terrified to compete at the diocese and the regional spelling bees, because the winner would be driven to these competitions. First by Sister Pat Cassidy, and then by Father Lhotse. Now, my victory over this first spelling bee was overshadowed by my fear of Sister Pat. I trembled when I opened the door of her car, certain that there would be a torture device or a trap door or some other evil plot to destroy me. But to my great surprise, she had a pillow and a blanket. She asked me what kind of music I liked and what kind of snacks I'd like for the road. I kept looking around, wondering who she was talking to, because I was expecting this evil and maniacal nun behavior, but this thoughtful behavior continued mile and mile down the road. until we reached a giant orange and black sign with six letters. D-E-T-O-U-R. Detour. And when it was clear that this would send us 30 minutes out of our way, the evil Sister Pat simply prayed the Serenity Prayer. Lord, help me accept the things I cannot change. And then she handed me some more snacks. Now, I was confused by this interaction, but not as confused as I was 2 days later. Because 2 days later, I got in the car with the kindest and most loving priest in the world. And we laughed, we joked, we ate donuts until we came to that same detour sign where I experienced the shock of my life. The Pied Piper, the high priest of patience, saw that sign and threw his hands up in the air. He yelled at the top of his lungs, "You've got to be kidding me." And then when the car honked behind him, he laid on his horn for a full minute straight. And then when another driver yelled out of his window, "Aren't you a priest?" he yelled back, "You bet, and I've talked to God, and it's hot where you're going." Now, if you would have looked at me through the rearview mirror, you would have seen a fourth grader in the midst of an existential crisis. My mouth was wide open. My eyes were as big as saucers as I wondered through shock and awe, how could this be happening? How could six letters on an orange and black sign make some people calm and some people absolutely crazy? And you know, I think that that's a question that not just fourth grade spelling bee champions ask, but every disciple on the road trip of faith. Who are we? How do we behave? How do we respond when we're faced with a detour? Because detours can bring out the calm in us or the crazy in us, the frenzied in us or the faithful in us, the gutter in us or the grace in us, the Sister Pat in us or the Father Lotzi in us. And in our text this morning, the Apostle Paul shows us what it looks like when we face detours and how we can choose them to bless us or to burden us. For when we meet Paul in the second chapter of the first letter to the Thessalonians, he too is standing in front of a big orange and black sign with detour written across it. He planned to visit the Thessalonian church, a church that he planted, a people that he had nurtured, and a community of faith that he desperately wanted to be in fellowship with again. But this detour has been placed in his path, and this road has been closed. And yet it's right here that we learn our first lesson from our text today, and that is that every faith journey will include detours. Let me say that again. Every faith journey will include detours. Now, Paul was an apostle. And you remember from last week's message that he was handpicked by Jesus to get in the car and to drive building the kingdom of God throughout Asia Minor. But despite this divine assignment, despite this great purpose, Paul still has to face a detour on his faith journey. Now, Moses, he liberated his people. He stood before Pharaoh, he sent God's plagues, and he parted the Red Seas. But he too, you guessed it, had to face a detour through the wilderness. Daniel was faithful. He wouldn't bow down to foreign gods, he wouldn't eat unclean foods, but even he had to face a detour, and in a fiery furnace at that. What am I trying to say this morning? That no matter how faithful or faithless, how holy or hopeless we think we are, every faith journey includes detours. Why? Because detours do not discriminate. Even the most God-led, God-inspired, and God-planned journeys will lead right into detours. So what that means for somebody here this morning is that you can stop blaming yourself. You can stop wondering if you've made a wrong turn or if you've reached this place because God is displeased with you. No, my brother, no, my sister, detours are par for the Christian course. And every disciple on every faith journey will face them. In fact, turn to somebody next to you and say, there's a detour ahead. All right, turn to somebody other side of you and say, there's a detour ahead. And I know this, not because I'm a psychic, but because it's part of our Christian journey. And yet here's why that's not bad news, Jerry, because detours are delays, but not dead ends. Detours are delays, but not dead ends. Don't believe me? Just look at Paul. On the surface, Paul's journey looks a lot like a dead end. We aren't told why or how, but his road trip to Thessalonica has been blocked, and there doesn't seem to be a way forward. In fact, Paul describes this in verse 18 as Satan has blocked our way. Now, maybe this is where Father Lotzi got his language from. Paul is clearly frustrated, maybe even a little angry that the route that he planned has been blocked by this unexpected detour. And isn't that how we all feel when the road ahead of us is closed? When our own way is blocked? When our plans are interrupted? Doesn't it feel like the world or even Satan himself has personally conspired against us? But don't miss this. Detours are delays and not dead ends. Detours mean that the way that we expected to reach our destination has been blocked, but access to the destination has not been denied. And that's an important distinction for us to hold on to this morning. Because many Christians' faith journeys have ended at detours when we interpret them to be dead ends instead of just delays. A dead end means never, but a delay means not now. A dead end means no way, Jose, but a delay means try another way. A dead end means no moving forward, but delay means moving in a different direction towards the same destination. And my brothers and sisters, when you come to the detours of life, and you will, it will be frustrating, it will be upsetting, it will be disappointing, it will be irritating, but it's only for the moment and not forevermore. Because detours are not dead ends. Now, sure, they slow us down. They take us on paths that we didn't predict, but just because a journey is delayed doesn't mean that a journey is denied. And I know that's hard to remember when that big orange and black sign is staring you in the face. It's hard to remember that when it seems like other people have reached the same destination without facing the detour that you have to. And it's made harder still because detours, stay with me, deviate from the one route that we plotted to our destination. Think about it. Before any road trip, what do? We map it out. We plan the stops and the starts, the exits and the on-ramps. We plan our routes. And when we do, we assume that the route that we planned is the only way to reach our destination. And how we look at roads is often how we look at our faith journeys. We assume that there's only one route to faith. We assume that there's only one route to success. We assume that there's only one route to fulfillment. We assume that there's only one route to purpose. We assume that there's only one route to happiness. And that's why we choose certain churches, certain schools, certain groups, or certain internships. Because we become committed not just to where God has called us to be, but the way that we are going to get there. So when we face a detour, we often devalue or abandon our journeys because they don't resemble the one route, the right route, or the normal route that we think is the only way to reach our destination. But the Holy Spirit sent me to ask someone here this morning, what if there's another way? What if there's another way? What if there's another route to God's destination for you? There was for Paul. Remember, Paul had one destination in mind, and that was to encourage the Thessalonians. Paul admits that he tried his own route several times, but he still couldn't get there. He was frustrated. He was disappointed, but he considered an alternative route. So instead of Paul being able to journey there himself, he sends Timothy instead. And herein lies what might be the hardest part of navigating detours: detachment. Detachment. Because detours force us to detach ourselves from the route that we planned and instead embrace an alternative. That's what Paul has to do when he planned to visit the church at Thessalonica. The people that he loved, the church that he planted, when they needed him the most, he wanted to show up and encourage them in person. But now he has to let go of that route. He has to consider a different way to reach the same destination. And isn't that the most difficult part of our own detours? It's not just committing to a new direction that makes detours difficult. No, it's detaching from the route we thought we were going to take. It's detaching from your plans. It's detaching from how long you thought it would take to get there. It's detaching from the life you thought you would live. But we can journey with hope even in the midst of detours today, because detaching from the route we planned doesn't detach us from our final destination. We may take another way. We may try an alternative route, but we can still get there because God always has more than one route to our destinations. And I know this. I know this with certainty because I have married people who met at church and who met at bars, who met online or who met in line, who met at 16 or who met at 61. Each took different routes but reached the same destination. I know because I've prayed with couples who became parents through adoption, through foster care, through IVF, and through too many drinks on New Year's Eve. Different routes, but reached the same destination. I know because of the people who came to faith as children, people who came to faith as teenagers after retirement or after deconstructing a faith they had to rebuild. Different routes, same destination. And so maybe the real question for us today is not, will I reach my destination? But do I trust God enough to surrender the route that I've planned, to forgo the life that I've mapped out, and instead to embrace God's detour? Now, if you're not sure your answer to that question, allow me to suggest one reason that you can embrace an alternative route. One reason that you can see that orange and black sign off in the distance and rejoice instead of recoil. And here it is. Just because detours are unplanned doesn't mean they can't serve God's purpose. Remember, Paul didn't plan for any of this, but he embraced it. An alternative route opened up, and we learn from our letter that when Timothy went in Paul's place and encouraged the church, it brought Paul unspeakable joy. Did Paul make the journey? No, he couldn't. Did Paul want to go? Absolutely. Did things go as planned? Not hardly. But was Paul's purpose of encouraging the Thessalonians achieved? Absolutely. Because you see, detours may change plans, but they can still serve God's purpose. And I'll prove it to you. Look around this room. Go ahead, look around. And I want everybody to raise their hand if their life has gone according to plan. Nobody? Zach, check the hallway. Nobody? Okay, now raise your hand if God has still created purpose in your life. So no hands on plan, but almost all hands up on purpose. I want you to remember that image. The next time that you come to a detour in your own faith journey, I want you to remember that there are just as many people whose life has given God purpose and yet has not gone according to plan. Because maybe that's the real destination that God calls each of us to. A place of faith where we embrace even divine detours. Where we embrace them because we know that they're not dead ends. Where we embrace them because we know that God always has more than one way to reach our destinations. And where we embrace them, because though they are unplanned, they can still serve God's purpose. So, may you find joy on the journey, even when you face the detours ahead. And may you also find your inner sister, Pat Cassidy, and not your father, Lotsie.